News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
To have negative impact on our economy, public health, and safety. The people most at risk are workers in the construction, hospitality, and agricultural industries, women and children in need of health care services, and even some attorneys. Many of us benefit from their work, whether enjoying a meal at a restaurant, a clean hotel or condo, or a sturdy roof over our heads. A workforce with an incredible work ethic. They have gone through things we will never, can never imagine simply for the opportunity to have a job.
All right, so this is Grace Resendez McCaffrey, local activist is always kind of a dicey word. She's a friend. She's somebody who, works on immigrant-related issues, and she says that SB 1718, the Immigration Reform Act that was passed and signed into law this session, is very, very bad for our economy, very, very bad for immigrant workers here in the Pensacola area and across the state. She says that the unintended and some of the intended consequences are bad.
This law nullifies their legally issued driver's licenses. This law threatens anyone transporting them from out of the state things such as coming to or from work, visiting family, or attending immigration court. They can be charged with a felony for driving them.
And so this was at the Pensacola City Council during the open forum, the Boyd open forum, Leroy Boyd open forum, and it was in the beginning, and they basically had a bunch of people come and give their statements of opposition to the impact of this bill. Now, it's not the Florida legislature. The Pensacola City Council doesn't have any authority here, but they felt like this was their opportunity to speak on something that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, the reasons why people are in opposition to this bill. Chandra Smiley, who is the director of community health in Northwest Florida.
We have patients since this bill has been signed that have been calling concerned about coming in for their appointments in fear that their information will be provided, in fear of losing their children or being deported. We have prenatal patients who are requesting that they be induced before July 1st because they're afraid that after July 1, if they have a baby in a hospital setting, the baby will be taken away and they would be deported.
She says people are concerned about their information. They're concerned about getting treatment. They're concerned that they're going to be reported and deported or have their children taken away from them and that they're going to skip appointments, that they're missing already needed health care because of the perception that they're going to be arrested or mistreated because of this law. She wanted to assure people that they do not disclose the private medical information of patients. That was Chandra Smiley. Henry Tice is the general manager of North Florida Auto Brokers.
My name is Henry Tice. I'm general manager of North Florida Auto Brokers. The majority of our customers are immigrants, Hispanics. Because I speak Spanish, they have gravitated to us for their automobile needs. This past week, we finance them. This past week, I had four of our customers that came in and said, would you give us our titles so we can go title our cars in Alabama? We're moving to Alabama. And one said, I don't know why people hate us. All we want to do is just to do the jobs Americans don't want to do. We're so thrilled to be here with an opportunity to make money to take care of our family here and send money back. So we got four titles out, did all the paperwork, so they could go to Alabama and register their cars.
So he says, look, the Alabama did this a decade ago, and then they undid it about a year and a half later because it was terribly bad for their economy. He says that the people who buy cars from him are good, hardworking people who just want to pay their bills. He says that, you know, people are basically going anywhere else because of this, his customers. You had another guy who was also in car sales, Antonio Estraba. He says, look, you know, I sell a lot of cars to Hispanic people, and this law is making those people leave the state.
I want to talk about the impact that this law is doing in my business. The first week, more than 50% of my cars call me, and we are leaving the state. And they are leaving all around. And when I see my system, where are my cars? The cars that we finance, they are in going to New York, New Jersey, Tennessee, Ohio. I cannot repo the cars. They stop paying. I'm going to lose a lot of money.
So this is people, you know, economically at the margins, right? They're buying inexpensive cars, and they don't always fulfill their obligations, and he needs to be able to recover those cars in case they default on their debts, because he finances them himself, right? And he says they're leaving the state and they're going to all those places you heard him mention where he does not have the repossession authority. And he says, you know, I pay about $25,000 to $30,000 a month in sales tax. This is local. This is Pensacola area, okay? And he says people are scared. They won't come here. We're getting called to deliver cars to Foley because they don't even want to come into the state because they're scared. You had Paula Chapman, who's a realtor, and she said, I've already got people putting their homes up for sale just because of this law.
Hello, everybody. Paula Chapman. I'm a co-owner of IXL Real Estate here in Pensacola. I am licensed in three states, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida, and I have been doing real estate for about 12 years. And I will tell you and share with you how bad this is getting already. In this last week, I have had four families that wanted to put their house for sale because they want to leave the state. Four families in 1 week. And I will tell you this, the sooner that we get to July, that number is going to double or even triple. And we're not talking about undocumented immigrants here. We're talking about documented immigrants that are not feeling welcome here in this state anymore.
So, again, this SB 1718 that got signed into law by the governor, you say, well, I've heard about this law. What does it specifically do? I'll tell you, since you asked. It's my job. The legislation requires E-Verify for any employer with more than 25 employees. Okay, so you have to use E-Verify. There are penalties for anybody who is employing illegal aliens. Illegal aliens, by the way. And it enhances penalties for human smuggling. For example, if you're caught driving from out of state, five or more people who are not legally documented to be in the United States, then that's a second-degree felony. It's five or more or a single minor if there's somebody under the age of 18, because we're looking to stop trafficking, right? It's a felony, second-degree felony, $10,000 fine, up to 15 years in prison. There's money in here to support the transportation of the unauthorized alien transportation program. That's to relocate people who are caught here illegally or who come here illegally to other states. There's a prohibition on the distribution or the, you know, the providing of documentation to illegal immigrants by local municipalities, some of which have, you know, tried to issue their own documents. There's also it invalidates the like, for example, she said the driver's licenses. If you had a driver's license that was issued, let's say, in, you know, California or something, and try to use it here, it's not valid if you're an illegal immigrant. And it also requires hospitals to collect healthcare data in order to figure out how much money the healthcare system is spending on people who are illegal immigrants as opposed to people here who are here legally. Those are basically all of the provisions. And so the question you might be asking is, okay, this kind of parade of horrors that these people brought up at the Pensacola City Council meeting, is it people who are here illegally who are putting their homes up for sale and taking their cars and not buying their cars and, you know, not coming in for health appointments and not entering the state because they are illegal? In which case, what you might say is, well, that means the law's working. I mean, I think that's what people who sponsor the law would say. Well, goodness, it's working, you know, yay. the claim is also that there are some people who are not here illegally that this is affecting because they or maybe family members or for whatever reason, they feel like Florida is no longer a hospitable state for them. I don't know how to evaluate the claim that it is legal or illegal, but I certainly believe that people who pay attention to legislation, and though not all citizens do, I think when you live in a state illegally, you do, you know, you pay attention because it affects your status as a resident and whether you can be here or not. And listen, I think life is very, very hard for people who are, you know, operating illegally in the United States, whether it's them, their children, taxes, being taken advantage of by employers, all kinds of things. The question is, should the state of Florida be lenient about these matters and leave it up to the federal government, who is doing a what can only be described as incompetent job with immigration enforcement? Or should Florida be taking matters into our own hands and saying that we don't want people to be able to operate here if they come here illegally? I mean, that's the question. And the state of Florida has taken the position that, too, right? We're not going to let people operate here illegally. And as I say, I think the people who advocate for this law are going to look at this and say, it's working. This is exactly what we wanted to have happen. The critics are going to say, yes, and you're costing the state tax money, to which the advocates would say, well, it's already costing us tax money to provide services for these people, to educate these children, you know, whether it's medical services. That's why the, you know, survey on health care, so that you can figure out exactly how much money is being spent on the treatment for illegal immigrants. So I think it's a complicated topic. And the claim generally and historically has always been that people who are, for example, in Florida illegally are generally taking jobs that people who are here legally, typically born here, don't want to do. And so we depend upon that labor force for agricultural work or construction work. You know, people who would have come here, one of the things that Grace brought up was, you know, you're very grateful for all the workers who came and rebuilt houses post-Ivan. A lot of those people were, you know, illegal immigrants. And you didn't ask questions then. You're just glad to have your roof back. Like I said, I think it's a complicated topic. But I wanted to share with you because even though, you know, the law has been passed and even though it's not really the Pensacola City Council's domain to make decisions, this seemed to me like a perspective that has not been aired an awful lot in the conversation about how to deal with a broken immigration system here in the state of Florida. And when I was listening to these people present, I thought, well, this is a perspective we ought to hear. You know, you ought to take account of this. And whatever your reaction is, it's certainly news. If it is happening as they say it's happening, it seems like a pretty substantial shift in how things are being done. Either a bad shift or you might think it's a good shift. 521 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
There's something new at Pete Bohr Imports, and you need to experience it. The Volkswagen 2023 ID.4 EV is in stock and waiting for you to enjoy the smooth, quiet, and impressively powerful ride it offers. If you haven't experienced an EV yet, make sure you stop by and see how the Volkswagen ID.4 EV will absolutely impress even the most discerning drivers. And while you're at Pete Bohr Imports, check out the 2023 Taos S, now from $26,226, and the Tiguan S from $28,576, and both are available with a low APR rate of 1.9 for 36 months. The Atlas Cross Sport SE is in stock and priced from $36,161, and it's available with financing at 3.9% for 60 months. It's all new this month at Pete Bohr Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Bohr Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Tax title and associated dealer fees. APR rates for qualified credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizzy, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY to learn more.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Con! oh, man. To me, that is one of the all-time great, I don't know, sequels, I guess, in sort of...
That was the best one, I thought.
Because,
I love Wrath of
Because it wasn't not that it was Star Trek 2 to Star Trek 1, but that it was... Star Trek in the 80s as a follow-up to the Star Trek series in the, 70s? Late 60s. Sure. And it was, Kirk as young Kirk, old Kirk, mm-hmm. and Khan, Ricardo right. Montalban, young Khan in the Botany Bay in the original episode, mm-hmm. and then the follow-up in the movie.
He played himself.
Yeah, it's a really, to me, that's a really neat, sequel in the universe kind of continuity one. Just... Mm-hmm. I know it's super nerd stuff, but if you're a nerd with me, then you're with me.
And if you're a nerd of the show, I bet everybody misses Reese right now. Because she was a Star Trek lady.
That's right. Yeah,
I
that's
miss
true.
Reese. I love her so much.
Oh, man. I was just talking to her the other day. She's so great.
God, I love her.
526 on News Radio. No. 526 on News Radio 92.3. No candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a deal's in place, but it's not quite done yet. President Biden and House Speaker McCarthy hitting the phones today to sell their debt-ceiling deal to holdouts in their parties. The House expected to vote Wednesday on the deal to raise the nation's debt limit. A dozen horses died during the Churchill Downs spring track meet. Now the horse racing safety authority is holding an emergency summit that's scheduled later today, and it'll bring several veterinary teams together to figure out just what happened. And, gosh, horrible news out of South Florida. 9 people hurt after a shooting in Broward County. This happened on the Hollywood Beach boardwalk last night. Police say 8 of the people that were shot were in stable condition. Apparently 4 of the victims, though, were kids. One of them was only 1 year old. And investigators believe there were 2 groups arguing before all those shots were fired.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. As you heard David talking about top of the hour, today we have... what can only be described as a big, long, hairy meeting at the school board because you have both sides are working up their folks. The sides here are fascinating to me because, first of all, it is a nonpartisan board, right? Although that's going to change, but it is a nonpartisan, school board is nonpartisan right now. So, I mean, you might suspect who's the Republicans, districts 1, 2, 4, and 5. And you might suspect who's the Democrat, District 3, because that's how the districts work in this county. Anyway, but it's not partisan, right? But yet you have the Democrat Party here in Escambia County. Yeah, there is one. They are upset. Many of them are black, okay? And not all by any means, but, a lot of the folks who are having meetings about this, and they're upset that Sheena Payne has not been made the interim superintendent. She's black and a woman, obviously. And then the Republicans are also, worked up because they want their guy, who is the guy that Paul Fetsko and Kevin Adams want, Keith Leonard. And so they want their guy, who happens to be white. And, you know, they're all, both sides are saying, go to the school board, participate. Now, let me say this. Participating in the school board meeting that is going to pick who is now and who, how the process will go forward for picking the next superintendent, that's good. That's good, having a lot of people show up. I don't know exactly what they're going to try to accomplish today, you know, if they're just going to get up there and talk about it being a race issue, if they're going to get up there and talk about, you know, you shouldn't have fired him or this is who you should have going forward. We'll see. That's why you have the public input. But I, for one, am glad that lots of people care. It just seems odd to me that we seem to have this kind of partisan thing. You know, the GOP, local GOP representative was on WAR last night talking about how it's, you know, we got to stop the woke stuff in the schools. I understand that. And you got the Democrat up on Channel 3 last night talking about how, you know, well, it's not fair that this black woman was passed over. I understand that, too. You know, like, this is going to be a meeting. The one thing I will say is that the school board in Escambia County doesn't have what I would describe as a stellar record of, what's the word I want, running things. And so running this meeting is one of the things that they have done badly if you have watched any of the books meetings. What they really need to do is they need to gauge the number of people in the audience, and they need to adjust the speaker time appropriately. This is something that the Florida State Legislature does all the time. You might have 3 minutes if nobody's there. You can cut that to two or one. I would recommend you don't probably cut to 30 seconds, although I've seen the legislature do it. But make the meeting a reasonable length. And if you got 100 people up there who are each going to talk for 3 minutes, that's a five-hour meeting just to start. So I think you can do better than that. I would seriously encourage them to go to a probably a minute per speaker if there's a lot of people in the room, and I think there will be.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The House Rules Committee will meet this afternoon to set the agenda for the debt ceiling vote. Texas Congressman Michael Burgess says he'll accept that 1% cut that's on the table.
That's the first time that Congress will have spent less money in the next year than it did the previous year.
A Republican on America's Newsroom, the President, Vice President, lay a wreath of the tune in the unknown soldier on Memorial Day, honoring the nation's war dead.
Those who died so our nation might live.
A shootout in South Florida on the Hollywood Beach Boardwalk. 9 people, including some kids, injured. A Memorial Healthcare System spokeswoman says all the victims are in stable condition. Cops say one person has been detained. The search is on for another person. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. It is partly cloudy this morning, 65 degrees here in Pensacola. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office looking for leads after a man was shot outside of the Days Inn on Lavelle Way yesterday. Now, this happened just before 11:30 yesterday morning. A male victim was shot 4 to 5 times in the back. Investigators say a black male fled the scene. Channel 3 talked to a family from New Orleans that was visiting the area after they lost a loved one to gun violence in their hometown.
It's hard. We just came to get away from Baton Rouge for a little while because we just lost someone to gun violence. We just buried him this past Friday. So it's kind of heartbreaking to know that it's really everywhere and it's nonstop violence going on.
And as for the shooting, no other information has been made available. Ron DeSantis, apparently not a huge fan of the new debt ceiling deal that was struck over the weekend.
The Florida governor and 2024 GOP presidential candidate said the U.S. is still careening towards bankruptcy. He said the deal reached by President Biden and Speaker McCarthy to raise the debt ceiling for 2 years is a massive amount of spending, even with the new caps promised on spending. I'm Mark Mayfield.
At least 2 people were hurt in a crash on Highway 29 north of Escambia, reporting that a car smashed into a Jeep that was stopped in the travel lane of the highway near Archer Road last night. The driver reportedly tried to swerve around that vehicle but couldn't get around it. Right now, there's no word on the severity of the injuries, although they were not considered to be life-threatening. FHP and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office investigating that crash. Congratulations are in order for Pensacola's own Bobby Van Dusen. He won his 3rd title at the annual World Championship Old Time Piano Playing Contest. And that's what it sounded like when he won last year. And he also won the senior division in 2019 as well. The contest staged every Memorial Day weekend in Oxford, Mississippi. So again, a big congratulations going out to him. 534, it's News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing another beautiful day today. Nice and humid, 10% chance of a stray afternoon shower. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68 degrees. For Wednesday, 20% chance of a stray afternoon shower or thunderstorm, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. For Thursday, 40% chance of rain with a high near 85. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 65 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 62 in Milton. A little bit of a spread there. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Escambia County Emergency Management has three things you need to know this hurricane season. Number one, know your zone. Do you live in a hurricane evacuation zone? Number two, know your home. Is it prepared for a hurricane? Your safest place may be at home instead of a shelter. Number three, know your plan. Where can you stay if you are evacuated? Confirm plans now with family or friends before the storm. For more information, go to myescambia.com/be ready.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, is every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket, a lawn chair, just remember no pets or glass, and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Christy T's Bad Juju. They've been a staple in Pensacola for the last 8 years, and if you've got dancing shoes, they'll help you wear them out. They'll play the top 40 hits from the 60s all the way up to today, including Motown and The Obscure. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Good morning, 537, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, high around, I don't know, 89, something like that today, so, yeah. And there was much rejoicing. Here we go. Let it, and so it begins. Summer is coming. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Shane Tucker, the Chief Deputy of Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, good morning, Andrew. It's good to talk to you again.
Good to have you as well. Let's start with this. The safe packs, Sheriff Johnson had a sort of a press conference about this the other day. Can you maybe just tell people what they are? And is this brand new? I thought we had these already in place. So what happened the other day?
The packs themselves are kind of a new twist to our safe program. You know, we've been doing the safe program for some time now. That's something that Sheriff Johnson, in cooperation with Emerald Coast Exceptional Families, has initiated some time back to help us better serve our special needs community. But last week, he announced the all patrol deputies are going to be provided with these safe program packs. And they are expected to be, you know, kind of an additional resource for allowing us to better serve our special needs population. These PACs have in them items that, you know, are there to help us communicate with and hopefully make these special needs citizens more comfortable and safer when dealing with our deputies. As you know, folks that that have special needs, in many cases, they may not communicate as expected or even at all in emergency situations. So anything that we as an agency can do to help increase that communication is we consider that a big win for our citizens.
Yeah, and just kind of looking at the contents of the PACs from your Facebook post, it's a lot of things that I would interpret as being designed to bring calm to, you know, certain people are more easily agitated by things like lights and sirens and chaos that surround a crime scene or even just any kind of an incident. So you have, you know, sound-canceling headphones, you have shades, you have fidget spinners and, you know, fidget snakes and things like that to occupy their hands. Just and an interactive kind of a keyboard so that they can, you know, communicate with you if verbal is not their preferred method, right? Like, that's the idea, is to put them at ease and allow them to communicate more effectively with you guys, if at all. Is that right?
That's exactly the idea. You know, and when you're dealing with folks that that don't communicate, you know, in verbally, it can be incredibly difficult, you know, to calm them down, to give them that sense that it's going to be okay. And these PACs are designed to assist with that.
And this is following on the stickers program, right, that you guys rolled out a couple of years ago to put a sticker on either on the car or on the house so that you can identify, hey, you know, somebody here has special needs, so just be aware of that when you're engaging with them, right?
Right, and it's the exact same program. That's the SAFE program. This is all, you know, encompassed under the umbrella of the SAFE program. You know, but when we announced the stickers a couple of years back, that was kind of the beginning, and this is just an addition to that same program.
Fantastic. We also had the other kind of news, the bad news. We had a deceased person was found on Diamond Street in Pace and has led to some charges. Is that right?
It sure has. Saturday, our deputies were dispatched to a home on Diamond Street after a witness reported seeing something that caused them to believe there was possibly a dead body at that residence. When our deputies got on scene, they confirmed there was, in fact, a decedent at that location. The suspect was actually still on scene, and when deputies tried to contact him, ultimately he tried to flee the scene, but deputies were able to detain him, and through their investigation, they ultimately were able to charge him with second-degree murder, as well as resisting violence. And as you know, in circumstances like this, even though an arrest has been made, it's still an ongoing investigation. So certainly more details will be released as the case progresses. But that's kind of where we're at right now.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this one had a change in the charging status from a first to a second, that, you know, there was a kind of a revised press release or whatever that went out. Do I remember that correctly? And if so, is that right?
Yes and no. We didn't change the charging status. We had a little snafu on our initial press release.
Oh, okay.
Where initially it said first degree murder, but the correct charge was second degree.
Okay, but the actual charge, it was just a communications issue, not an actual charging change.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense. What
correct.
Can you know, hang on for just a second, Shane, because I think it's something people may not understand the difference between those, and maybe it'll take a second to explain that. We hear a lot of these different terms, you know, first degree murder, second degree murder, homicide, manslaughter, negligent manslaughter. Can you just maybe give us the like 30-second primer on, you know, what is the difference between all these things? Because I think for some people it's very, and some of them are not legal terms of art here in the state of Florida. They're just terms that people hear because they're, you know, used elsewhere.
Sure. In this particular case, the suspect was charged with second degree murder. Second degree murder is the name for a description of an unlawful killing by an act that is imminently dangerous to another human being and does show evidence of a depraved mind, but there was no planning or premeditation on the part of the suspect to commit a homicide. So second-degree murder doesn't carry the premeditation. First-degree murder would encompass the premeditated murder or killing in the course of committing some an enumerated felony and in some drug-related crimes. That's going to be your first-degree murder.
And that's where the felony murder rule comes in. Like, if you drive the car at a gas station, right, robbery that winds up getting somebody killed, everybody gets charged because you were committing a felony that wound up in the murder, even if you didn't pull the trigger, right, yourself. And then a manslaughter is where it is somebody dies through, if it's a negligent manslaughter, it would be somebody dies through the failure to properly protect somebody else's life, even though you weren't intending the, there's no depraved mind, but you didn't do your best to protect them. Is that roughly the idea?
Correct. You know, when somebody dies, but there was not malice in the action, there wasn't any kind of a forethought, those circumstances certainly aren't the same as murder, but you're still responsible for your actions. And right, so your actions may have caused the death of a human being, even though that wasn't your intent.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, you guys had a domestic violence call that turned out to be, as is often the case, the initial facts are not the final facts. Is that right?
We sure did, and you're so right. Oftentimes that is the case. Many times people call us and report things to us that when we get to investigating, it's just not so. Friday morning, we were dispatched to a home in Navarre after a caller reported that her live-in boyfriend had struck her with a hammer and was presently chasing her around the house, threatening her with the same hammer. So obviously that's an urgent situation, so we didn't waste any time getting there. While we were en route, we lost contact with her and weren't able to get her back on the line, so certainly that causes us some concern. When we arrived, we found the boyfriend, but we didn't find the caller. The boyfriend told deputies that it was actually him that was threatened with a hammer, and he took the hammer from his girlfriend to protect himself. And he actually had some injuries that on his person that were consistent with what he was saying. Deputies started searching for the complainant and ultimately found her locked in a bedroom closet. When they started talking to her, she refused to give any additional information, but based on her original statement, the dispatch, we did call an ambulance to come check her out, and according to the paramedics, she didn't have any indication of any kind of recent injuries. So ultimately, the deputies determined that she was the primary aggressor, and she was ultimately charged with domestic violence battery.
So sometimes in law enforcement, people lie to you?
Very rarely, but yes, it happens. No, more often than you might believe.
I can believe an awful lot based on having talked to you guys for so many years, and I think that is one of the biggest challenges of your job is figuring out, you know, whose story adds up and, you know, and people lie about all kinds of things, and even when they don't need to lie, they lie about things, and so it's just, I think it's a very difficult slice of your job. Shane Tucker, he's the Chief Deputy of Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. As always, Chief, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do, and, you know, just thanks for being there. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. 547 here on News Radio 92.3. Yeah, you know they do. Every once in a while. Every once in a while, people lie to cops. Isn't that
who
weird?
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? All the time.
Well, if I was freaking out and did something bad, I mean, I sure would.
They don't necessarily lie to cops well.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
right?
But
neither would
they
I.
Do.
Guess what I didn't do?
Hey, when it comes to heating or cooling your home, you got a lot of choices for HVAC maintenance, repairs, or replacement. You want to be able to pick up your phone and have confidence you're calling the right folks who are going to install it right, install the good stuff, and they're going to put their money where their mouth is with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. That is Peden Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Right now, they've got a couple of specials going on. One is, let's see, you have a $1,000 off of Briggs & Stratton whole home generator right now. You also have a free sewer camera inspections going on. The inspection is free. If they need to do repairs, they'll take $250 off. And then they're hiring in Baldwin County. They need HVAC techs and plumbers, and they're now serving Baldwin County. We've been talking about many times. They just expanded into Baldwin County recently. So wherever you are across the Gulf Coast, Panama City, Destin, Fort Walton, Pensacola, obviously, and even into Baldwin County now, Peden Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. They will take care of you. Find out more at Peden, PEADEN.com.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in tomorrow morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and we'll be discussing how the ProHealth Medical Membership Program can help you take out the stress and cost of health care. That's tomorrow morning at 9 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
What does it mean to have peace of mind? It doesn't just happen. It's by design. PGT Custom windows and doors are designed to stand up against some of the strongest weather conditions, guard against intruders, and reduce outside noise, adding value to your home. All you have to do is close it, lock it, and forget about it, giving you peace of mind. That's the freedom of PGT.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Good morning, 550 on News Radio 92.3. I know I'm winning when Candy blows out an eardrum of mine with her laughter.
Sorry, the Wheel of Fortune. Well, not only this show, but, and you're not a casino guy probably, but
no.
There's a game. There's a,
you're right,
yeah,
right.
One of those games. Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, we've been watching, my wife and I have been watching this History of Game Shows series on ABC. And
right.
It's kind of entertaining, you know, mm-hmm. And it reminds me of all the shows I've seen, except... Basically, my limit is if you get back into the ones that were in black and white,
uh-huh.
I don't really know those ones so much, you know. But everything that's in color, oh, yeah, I've seen all those shows you know, a lot.
Password.
550 on News at Pyramid.
Pyramid, sure.
Of course, all of it. Press Your Luck, all of it.
Mm-hmm. No whammies.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, sorry.
Did you want to say something, David?
I didn't know my mic was on.
I'm so sorry. No, I thought you were going to go to David.
Pardon
and we got
us
talking.
For doing a talk show, David. The newsman wants to speak.
Excuse me. Okay. It's my time now.
To be fair, that's a complete my bad. So,
but it was so
I'm turning
funny.
My mic off.
Go ahead, David.
Well, the impeachment trial for Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is set to start no later than August 28th. 12 House members delivered the articles of impeachment to the state Senate on Monday. Paxton is temporarily suspended after the Texas House voted overwhelmingly on Saturday to impeach him on charges including abuse of office and obstruction of justice. It's been almost 5 years after 11 people were shot to death in the Pittsburgh area Tree of Life Synagogue. The trial of their accused killer starts today. The jury was officially seated late last week. Federal prosecutors are looking for convictions on 63 separate counts in connection with the shooting. And legendary director Martin Scorsese planning to make a film about Jesus.
This comes after Scorsese met with Pope Francis over the weekend. The director says he's responded to the Pope's appeal to artists in the only way he knows how, and that's writing a screenplay for a film about Jesus. Scorsese has been in Italy after premiering his new film, Killers of the Flower Moon, at the Cannes Film Festival in France. He previously directed The Last Temptation of Christ in 1988, which starred Willem Dafoe as Jesus. I'm Mark Mayfield.
So something to look for there.
There you go. Yeah, it was kind of, I thought it was funny. Kudos to, who was the anchor there who did that report? I didn't catch it.
That was Mark Mayfield.
Mark Mayfield. Kudos to Mark Mayfield. I was watching or reading this story somewhere else yesterday, and they didn't even mention The Last Temptation of Christ. I'm like,
he already made it.
You know,
Christ movie.
This isn't him making a first movie about Jesus. There was a fairly well-known prior movie about Jesus.
He's got some experience.
Yeah, he has done this before. And, you know, I will say it for the record. I know this was a very big hullabaloo at the time. I said it. I said the word hullabaloo.
Oh, do you have a word a day calendar?
No,
too?
I do not. No.
Commissioner? No? Okay.
But I don't have that kind of a bulla.
Okay.
Anyway, Last Temptation of Christ. So I watched this film when I was a non-Christian. I've been raised in a, you know, Methodist family, but I was a non-Christian at the time. And my impression, I know Christians hated this film, or at least that was the line. I don't know if you hated it and you're a Christian, but, you know, there was a lot of protesting of this film because if you haven't seen it, I don't think you can spoiler a film 35 years later. But here goes.
About something that happened 2,000 years ago.
Right.
Right. Or didn't.
Well, the issue, the big issue in that movie was that at the very end, Jesus is tempted, like tempted on the cross, like really seriously indulges in the sort of the mind fantasy that he would be delivered from the crucifixion, that he would come down off the cross, that he would live out a happy life raising children with Mary Magdalene, and that they would have a great, that was the temptation, was normal life, you don't have to go through with this. And in the movie, he's, you know, living this, and then at the very end, he is basically challenged on that, and he returns back to the incident of his crucifixion, finishes out, you know, saving the universe from wrath, or saving the saved from wrath. Anyway, and I saw it as a non-Christian, and I thought it was one of the most pro-Christian movies ever because it talked about, or it showed Jesus really experiencing temptation, which the Bible says he does experience every temptation you've experienced. So he really experienced it and said no and endured the cross nevertheless. But Christians hated it, generally speaking. And me, I'm saying as a born-again Christian now, I still think the movie was a fantastic movie about faith. So it's going to be interesting to see what he makes. And you know, and the book was fantastic, the Nikos Kazantzakis book on which the movie, you know, is a. I read the book because I saw the movie. I thought, oh, this is, I bet this is a great book, and it really is. It's
oh,
a great.
Oh, I didn't know there was a book that went with.
Oh
it,
yeah, Nikos Kazantzakis, a great Greek author, fabulous, challenging, interesting guy. Anyway, so I don't know why. Just wanted to say all of that right then.
And David Bowie's in it. Just
in Last Temptation?
Pontius Pilate.
Oh, I didn't remember that. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay.
I watched it for the first time like 5 years ago. Oh, so okay. I was like, what's the big deal?
Oh, that's the big
that's
deal.
That's why people are upset.
That's the part.
Yeah.
Because they read it like, well, that part's not in the Bible. Yeah, I know, but the poetic license, right? That's the idea.
But yeah, beautiful movie.
5:55 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, this is kind of an... It's an unusual story in a way, but you know Iran, okay? Iran is not a particularly good place. They've got a very repressive government, and we've been waiting for, it seems like, forever for the citizens there to, you know, figure out a way to overthrow their government or to take back their government or, you know, however you want to describe it. Well, you now have an Iranian-born model. I'm probably going to mess up her name, Mehlaga Jaberi, and you know, she's gorgeous, okay? She's 33 years old. And she had a video, and she showed up at Cannes, and she wore this, you know, beautiful full-length black dress with a train, okay, a small train behind it. And the train said on the back, stop executions in Iran, like it was written. That's somewhat what had caught attention. The part that was much more interesting that has caught perhaps more attention is that the front of the dress, and this is a little hard to describe, it's a very much of a visual effect, but if you just looked at it, it looked like a black dress with a kind of a tan neckline that's a loop that shows, you know, her cleavage, okay? And then it forms into a center knot between, like at her sternum, and then it goes around her neck, you know? It looks like a very typical kind of design you would think for a dress. When you look just a little bit closer, what you discover is that the loop and the knot and the neck portion is made out of rope. It is a noose that she's wearing around her neck.
And she looks exactly like Mila Kunis, just to...
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, so what she's saying is she's representing a fashion tied in with the hanging implement, which is, you know, Iran carried out at least 90 executions in the last 18 days. Of May, marking May as the bloodiest month in the nation over the last 5 years, according to Iran Human Rights Watch. So she says, you know, hey, international community, pay attention. So to me, this is an example of somebody, you know, I don't know how much of a risk it really is for her to wear this, but it's certainly a very declarative statement about pay attention. And she got a lot of people thinking about what's going on in Iran. And good for her. I'm baffled by the criticism here. I mean, to me, this is a model who's from a country where there is tremendous repression. Okay, more than 200 people executed in Iran just this year. Not because they're murderers, you understand? This is political dissidents, people who are opposed to, you know, the regime. And I think good for her. She's doing something with her influence to raise awareness about an issue that I think we should be aware of. And it's weird to me that at a place like Cannes, they'd be like, no, don't do that. Well, some are. Okay, some are. Now, the The other side of this is, think about it this way. If somebody, and I'm not saying you, I'm just saying some people are offended by the dress or saying this is inappropriate or whatever. So you're offended by the dress that's designed with a noose to be provocative and political, but you're not offended by the, you know, hangings of political dissidents in a country in the 21st century? I mean, maybe check your priorities. You know, maybe you should pay attention to something like this. 437-1620. So I thought that was, anyway, I saw it and I thought it was quite sharp, quite smart, quite poignant. I know it made me think about something that, you know, here I am, an American, living my life and going to work every day and, you know, getting my free Cumberland Farms drink yesterday, and I'm thinking, not at all about Iran. I see this woman. She's beautiful. She's got this noose around her neck as part of the dress. I said, what's that all about? Oh, yeah, I probably ought to care a little bit about this as, you know, a human, right? Oh, by the way, I think the free drink thing ended yesterday. Sorry. That's what the attendant told me, so sorry.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.